I want you to open your Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter number 45. Here is the prophet that men call the prophet of vision. What a tremendous book, the book of Isaiah. I could spend 15, 20, 30 minutes just talking about how unique this one book is within itself. But I don't want to do that. I want to preach tonight from chapter 45. I'll read verse 1, 2, and 3. But before I do, let me remind you, please, of the law of interpretation again. Now, the reason I do this so frequently is because of the way I preach. I may preach one night, as I did the other night, on a diamond. I've had people, and another time I preach on four birds. I have a message I preach on four worms in the Bible. But there's not anything in this book that does not speak to us in a spiritual way. And the reason that I say what I'm going to say now is to let you know that I do know and want you to know how to interpret the Word of God. And the law of interpretation is, first of all, remember, when you read a portion of Scripture, it has a primary interpretation. It means what it's saying at that time. It means that. And then secondly, as we'll see tonight in this portion, is there any utterance of prophecy in it? If it is, it will be easily seen. You don't have to stretch anything to see it. God will make it clear. There are some folk that they see something in every bush that moves. I mean, they see comets behind every tree. They see the coming of the Lord, everything happens. I got caught up in that, and I'm still looking for the Lord, don't get me wrong. But I got caught up in that when I first got saved, and somebody mentioned something on the post hostess box, and they said, this is a sign to come to the Lord. Am I right? Huh? And another one, some other company come out with something, and they said, boy, that's a sure sign to come to the Lord. Credit cards started coming out, and phone numbers, and oh, sure coming to the Lord. I want to quit work and just go sit down and wait on him. I've been over 20 years. He hasn't got here yet. But if there's prophecy in that portion of Scripture, God will make it clear. And then thirdly, there is the practical application, a spiritual application. Now, we're going to see that this evening. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 45, I want to show you the verse, give you a few more words of introduction as to what I'm preaching and why. Here in this chapter, God is talking about a man called Cyrus, the only Gentile in all the Word of God that God ever said was anointed. Isn't that strange? Only one. And he was, the strange thing about it, God was talking about him before he was ever born. Gives him his name and tells what he's going to do before he's ever born. Now, the true judge of a prophecy or a prophet is not if some of their sayings come so, the past. I heard somebody say one time, well, Jean Dixon must be a prophet, said nearly 70% of her predictions come to pass. Well, if they're a prophet of God, 100% of them will come to pass. That's the reason all this foolishness today, this healing. Yeah, I never seen anybody, I know being ugly, I never seen anybody get healed with anything obvious or completely healed, you know, on the spot like these healers are doing. Now, God does it, but God does it in His way for His own glory. And they'll say, well, God's really touched you at night. I said, you're going to keep on getting better and better and better. Well, if God did it, He could do it all right then. But here's a prophecy that came to pass exactly like God said it would, just like all other prophecies have and will. And then he tells him, well, let me read it, and then I'll give you my message, the thought for our message. Thus saith the Lord, chapter 45, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him two leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Now listen close to this verse. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness. I want you to remember that, because tonight I want to preach on the subject of the treasures that you'll only find as you look at the dark side. The treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. Now this comes to pass many years later, as you read in the book of Daniel. Here God is saying to this man Cyrus, before he's even born, that he is going to do at least seven things for him. I'll not take time to point those out. But God said he is going to do seven things for this man in a day yet to come. And one of those was that he would receive the treasures of darkness and hidden riches. Now you have to know something about the custom of that day before you can thoroughly understand that saying. In that particular day, treasures were hidden in subterranean chambers or in deep underground pits. Therefore, they were called treasures of darkness or hidden riches. Well, I've seen that happen not that many years ago, even in my grandmother's day. In the day that this was written, they never heard of a bank or security trust. They buried their treasures in the ground, so did my granny. They absolutely hid their money out in the yard in fruit jars. And a lot of other people did too. But here God said to this man that you're going to receive treasures of darkness. Now that prophecy came to pass because when Cyrus went into Babylon, it's estimated that the treasures that he took out or that he gained from those subterranean chambers and the riches he found would be in our money today over $175 million. I'd call that a treasure. Thou shalt receive the treasures of darkness. God said that's going to come to pass, and it literally did. But I want to take and make the spiritual application tonight on the subject of the treasures of darkness. I'm preparing now a book or a series of messages on this subject, the different treasures of the Bible. It's amazing how God shows us these things. There's one place God said that there was a treasure in this human body when the gospel comes. Then he said concerning Israel, there is a treasure in the hidden fields. He tells us that there is a treasure out in the harvest fields. We certainly know there's a treasure in heaven. But there is also a treasure in the hard places that God let you go through in this life. I was reading, may have even mentioned it, about a man and a woman, a young couple, just built them a beautiful home at the foot of a mountain. Everything they had was in it. But one day a fierce rainstorm and flood came and literally washed their house away and tore half the mountain away. And standing in the mud, their heart broken, everything they had gone. They looked down and saw something sparkling as the sun began to shine. And in that mud, they found where that mountain had been torn away and their house gone, they found a vein of gold that they had never known had not they went through that dark place. And oh, my friend, there's two sides of everything. There is a light side and there is a dark side. And the psalmist said that God seeth in the dark places. God's the only one that can penetrate that darkness. So I want to give you tonight four or five things, and look at the back side or the dark side, and then see the treasures that can only come out of that darkness. I want to talk to you about the darkness or the dark side of God's creation. Everybody loves light, but God said He called the evening night. There's got to be a treasure somewhere in that dark night. Secondly, I want to talk about the dark side of the commandments of God that reveals the vileness of every creature. I want to talk about the dark side of Calvary and the glorious treasure that you'll only find as you view the dark side of the cross. Then there is the dark side of chastisement. And then lastly, there is the treasure that comes from the dark side of life when it ceases to be. First of all, there is here the promise that He will receive the treasures of darkness. And so can every one of us receive God's treasure in these dark places. Number one, there is the dark side of God's creation. Now there's coming a time when there'll not be a night. Nighttime will pass away. But God plainly tells us that He created both the morning and the evening. Or He created the light and He created that darkness. And all the way through the Bible, darkness most of the time is always picturing ignorance, sin, death. But there is a treasure, my friend, on the dark side of God's creation called night. If there wasn't, Psalms 19 would not be in the Bible. He said, "The heavens declare the glory of God." Then listen to what He says. "And the firmament showeth forth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard." There is simply three treasures that can only come when you view the backside or the dark side of God's creation. First of all, according to Psalms 19, there's the starry skies above at night that speak and reveal the glory of God. Have you ever wondered what it'd be like to not ever be able to see a star, the sun, or the moon, or any of the things of God's heaven? But oh, what a treasure in that darkness of even the twinkling stars. There have been many, many men in years past, had it not been for that dark side, they'd have been lost forever. Because God has so marvelously hung every star in the heavens that it's the oldest method known to man of God's direction. Man has been directed home from stormy seas and from far off lands by the faithfulness of God's creation that can only be seen when the darkness appears. Not only do we see the starry heavens that speak of the glory of God, but have you ever thought about the treasure of the night of sleep, of just simply sleeping? If you've ever had any problem with sleeping, when I was a kid, they couldn't get me awake. Now I can't go to sleep sometimes. And you get so sleepy, your eyes hurt so bad, but you can't sleep. But when God doesn't let you fall into a sleep, what a treasure. Because it's amazing what just 3 hours That's that darkness of night when you sleep. What it'll do to your body. It's absolutely so wore out. The Bible said in Psalm 127, he talks about a man that got up early. He goes out on his job. He's got watchmen over the material. He stays up late figuring up his invoices. He's doing everything he can. He comes home and can't go to sleep. But the Bible said he giveth his beloved sleep. Often when something happens and when out of the ordinary and your nerves is all tore up and your mind is troubled, God gives you sleep and you fall into that darkness of night. What a treasure. If you don't think that's a treasure, you wait till it's taken from you. The most miserable hours I've ever spent is when I cannot sleep at night. But there is also the treasure that man never thinks about. That's the seeds of the harvest. There's never been a harvest on this earth that it didn't have to have the darkness of God's night on it. Or we'd not had it. People talk about, got to have the light and the sun. That's right. But it's got to have that darkness. But you're just as sure as God's in heaven. The principle is that God brings life out of darkness. That's the reason there is a treasure out in every field that's been plowed and toiled over. Underneath that dirt in that darkness. And when the sun hides itself and the earth is covered with blackness, God begins to work. And the treasure comes forth. Every one of us are recipients of the treasures of darkness. Of the black side, of the dark side of God's creation. So there's a dark side. The treasures of darkness that's found on the dark side of God's commandments. Because it reveals the blackness of the heart of every creature. Now, you don't know that when it's happening. You see, the Bible tells us plainly that the scope of sin has covered all the world and every creature. There's not one person on God's earth that's not a sinner. Never has been but one. The wages of sin is death. We see the scope of it. The Bible said that down inside our heart was darkness. But God commanded the light to shine into that darkness. And when that light shined into our heart, we're to verge of receiving that gospel and the treasures. But there has nobody, please listen to me, nobody has ever received that treasure, preacher, that did not first come by the dark side of Mount Sinai. It's absolutely impossible for you to know the Lord in His light and love and liberty and all the glory of God until you've been first made aware of the darkness of the consequence of sin. You remember before you got saved? I don't know who you was like me or not. Somebody say something about hell and said, we all go into hell. Ha ha. And I said, won't we have a good time? You didn't mind telling somebody to go there? You could laugh about it. Somebody talk to you, you're as good as anybody. But let me tell you something. You wait till God gets you to Mount Sinai. On that mountain that quaked and the darkness came and the thunder. And the darkness covered that place. God gave holy commandments that were never, ever, ever given by God to save anybody. Because you see, where there was no law, sin was not imputed to man. In fact, the only thing man ever did before the commandments came was just offer a burnt offering or a sacrifice to God. That scheming Jacob, all the lies and everything he did, God never said anything about him. And all the sin that's in your life, you thought you're pretty good folk. Until God lets you see the backside, the dark side of God's commandments that condemned you before a holy God. I don't know about anybody else but C.L. Roach. But for 30 long years, I could curse God. I could even curse God's people. I don't reckon it ever bothered me a whole lot. But one night, the righteous commandments of a holy God began to boil my mind and my heart. Oh, Paul said, I delight in the law of God. He said, just looking at it, I really delight in that. He said, but I find down in my members another law of sin. And just as sure as God brings that dark side of conviction of the law of God upon you, you know what it'll do? It'll make you cry out to God for mercy. Now, you talk about a treasure. Out of that darkness of the law that condemns and it speaks forth death, out of the darkness of that law that reveal how black and vile we really are, God said, I don't want you to die. I want to give you life. There's a treasure, my friend, when God reveals to you in conviction the holy commandments of God. That Paul, the apostle, before that ever came to him, he said, I was a Pharisee. Boys of the tribe of Benjamin. He said, I was an all right fella. But boy, when the law of God smote his heart, and that darkness fell on him, and he thought all was lost, God gave him the treasures out of darkness. He revealed the light and the love of Calvary. So, friend, out of the darkness of conviction, there may be somebody this week. You may not get saved this week. You may not get saved next week. But God got you hemmed in. And boy, I'm telling you, it's dark. I don't know about anybody else. I said, but the night God saved me, I didn't know anybody else was in that hospital but me. I didn't know anybody else was in Atlanta but me. It was me that God had shut up under that darkness. But out of that darkness, God gave me treasure. Hallelujah. Did you know there's some people who don't even understand what I'm preaching? I guarantee you that the folks that never know what you're saying when I preach what I'm preaching right now. Because they've joined churches, and they've made this little decision, and they've done that, and they have never really been under conviction and cried out to God, oh, what a wretched man I am. But if you've never seen yourself as wretched, vile, and lost before God, and worthy of darkness forever, you'll never know the treasure that comes from that light shining into your heart, the gospel of the Lord Jesus. There is a third treasure of darkness. That's the reason, before I go, that's the reason we better get back to preaching. We better get back to preaching. Man is under sin and condemnation. He's going to die without God. He cannot improve himself. He cannot religiously make himself better. He's going to have to get under conviction. Then he's going to have to willfully call upon God and want God to save him. But here's how it all came. I'll give thee the treasures of darkness. Here's a dark side, my friend, of the darkest dark it's ever been. Luke 23, when the Savior had got to the place, the Bible said, called Calvary. There they crucified him. And the two malefactors, one upon the right and one upon the left. The Bible said, and there was a darkness upon all the earth. God didn't say there was darkness on the earth. He said there was a darkness, a unique darkness, like it had never been before. I'll give you seven things of great darkness on the dark side of Calvary and show you the treasures on this side. On the dark side of Calvary, friend, as the Savior stood in that hall that night, and they robed him with a scarlet robe in mockery. Here is the King of Glory, the Creator, the Son of God, standing silent before his creation. And in mockery, They wrap around him an old, dirty, scarlet robe and mock him as being king. Oh, how dark. How dark was those men's minds. But out of that darkness of that robe in that court that night, the treasure is that God now robes us with robes of righteousness. That we'll never be mocked. Never. The Bible talks of five people laughing. And everywhere in the Bible, somebody's laughing. It's always the devil. Except one place. That's when God laughs. They mocked our Savior and laughed at him. But shall not the righteous judge of all the earth do right? Oh, there's a dark side of Calvary. The scarlet robe, the treasure is a robe of righteousness. Can you imagine anything any darker that night than the spittle on his face? Well, a sanctified man won't allow that. Spitting in his face. But as a lamb is dumb before his shears, he opened not his mouth. You know why? You know why they spit on him? Because that's a sign of being a failure. And they looked at him in that purple robe and said, "You're a mockery. You're a blasphemer. You're a failure. You hadn't done anything you said you'd do." But he took that in that darkness so that I could preach tonight that we're more than conquerors. We're not failures. Can I say that again? I'm not a failure. I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Yeah, there's a dark side of Calvary. There's the dark side of Calvary of the spikes in his hands. While the Lord Jesus knew, being God, the creator of all things, he knew what this hour held for him. He knew before the world was created, when he made every green thing, he knew one day a tree was going to grow that'd be made into a cross to crucify him. He knew before metal was ever discovered that one day they'd make some square-headed nail spikes and nail his hands to that tree. What a dark side of Calvary. His hands nailed to that tree. You know why? You know what the treasure is? The dark side, his hands is nailed. That the treasure might be that I can lift holy hands to God in praise. There's the dark side of Calvary and the stinging thorns upon his head. The only thing that was never removed from his body. Nowhere does it mention the thorns being removed. They had to stay upon his head because they're a product of the curse, and he was made a curse. He died a curse. Can you imagine the dark side of Calvary, the stinging thorns pulled in his brow? But I'll tell you what the treasure is. Out of that darkness, I've received the treasure of absolute assurance that I'll receive a crown of life. Oh, glory to God. I tell you, God said we'd have the treasures out of darkness. The dark side of Calvary, not only that, but can you imagine the darkness of that night? And Psalm 22 said, "My tongue is swollen." He said, "I'm dried up like a potsherd. Thirsting, he said, "I thirst." Oh, what a dark side when he that even made all the oceans and every fountain and every river said, "I thirst." That's the dark side. But oh, thank God, out of all that darkness, God said, "You can receive the treasures of darkness." tonight. I enjoy the treasures of drinking freely of the water of life. Not only was it a dark side of the swollen tongue, can anything be any darker than to hear the Savior say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? One had never done anything wrong, whom God had said, in whom I'm well pleased. But now God turns his back and darkness falls. Can you imagine anything any darker than that? I tell you what it is, the treasure out of that darkness is the assurance of knowing that I'll never, ever, ever have to hear him say, depart from me, you cursed. No, he's already done that in the Savior when he turned away from him. That's the dark side, but oh, the treasure of this side. There's the dark side, not only the sad cry, but there's the dark side of Calvary. Even when he was dead, they told them to go out and break their legs, but they didn't do it. They didn't tell them to put a sword in the side, but they did. Isn't that amazing? You know why? Because 1,030 years before, it had already been recorded, awake, O sword, against my shepherd. They pierced my hands and my feet, written 1,030 to 50 years before it happened. God said, not a bone should be broken. It wasn't. They had a command, go break his legs, but they couldn't. They didn't have a command to put a sword in his side, but they did. God was overruling it all. My friend, the death that he died was dark enough. Never anything any darker. Why didn't they leave him alone? There's one more thing that had to be done. You see, way back yonder when Adam sinned, God drove him out. God put a flaming sword at that gate of paradise. No man ever went back in. But now Jesus said, it's finished, Father. He's undone everything that Adam did. Can I tell you something marvelous? He is going to do something in a few hours from now, 3 days later. I'm going to just inject this here. Oh, the dark side of Calvary. That sword in his side. But on this side, the treasure of it is having the gates of paradise forever open. Now, thank God, whosoever will can come. There's nothing barring you from God. You see, Adam lost it in the garden. When God gave it to Adam, he said, keep the garden. Did he not? Adam was a gardener. That word only appeared one time in the Bible. Why do you think the Holy Ghost put that in the Scripture when Mary, the only one that anointed his feet, she knew a little bit more than the rest of them. And she came early that morning. You with me, Isaac? She saw a man working there in that garden. She supposed him to be the gardener. He was doing things that a gardener does. Why? Because Adam left it in a wilderness. The Savior started his ministry in a wilderness. Adam left it with a sword at the door. Jesus removed the sword. Adam left it a wilderness, that garden. And now Jesus comes, and the first thing he does, he picks up where Adam left. He's a gardener. He said, don't touch me, Mary. And I'm using supposition a little bit now. But I believe he might have said, don't touch me, Mary. I'm tidying this place up. Hadn't had a gardener in it since Adam. I tell you, the dark side of Calvary on this side, what a treasure. I'll give thee the treasures of darkness. Another treasure. The dark side of chastisement. Now, no chastening, the apostle said, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. I don't reckon I've ever had my mother or daddy to get a hickory after me, and I say, boy, this is fun. This is great. Lay it on me. Oh, no. God said it's grievous. I'm glad he didn't stop there. Thank God for these neverthelesses. He said, but nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable. Oh, that peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. You say, I've never been chastened. Well, you've never known the Lord then. Because God said he chastens every son. He would say that. I mean, everyone he loves, he's chastening them. And boy, I tell you, ain't nobody likes that. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a dark side of it, and there's treasures that comes out of it. God not only chastens lambs, but he chastens every little one that he receives. God chastened Israel 15 times. God chastened America. Boy, you read history about America, and you read about the Civil War, they try to make you think it's because of black people. That is just something they wanted to use. I tell you what it was. It was a judgment of God on this nation. Did you ever stop to realize it was one of the greatest anti-God movements ever been in this world, right here in America before the Civil War? God brought judgment on this land. He chastened this country. But out of it came a treasure. I mean a real treasure. And just like in your life, boy, God, sometimes God lets your heart be broke and crushed. But there's a treasure that comes in it. And pardon me for being personal again. But I want to tell you that. That's what I mentioned to you the other night. I said I'd tell you. My oldest child, my daughter, I was telling you about her. And the terrible sickness she had. But what we didn't know, after all this was over, brain surgery, stroke, and everything, what we didn't know was that she made a tape for me, her daddy. She started, and it was over an hour long, maybe an hour, something like that. Dave, you heard it, didn't you? Did you hear the tape? I thought we sent it to you. But she made that tape before her speech ever got back, right? And I didn't know this. But you see, my daughter used to be my organist when I pastored. Sweetest little girl. God blessed her with having a good brain. Smart. I mean, sure enough, smart. She must not have been able to handle it because she was exalted to a higher position. The fast lane, they call it. And on the tape, she said, Daddy, she said on Monday before all this happened, on Thursday, I was going to work and said, something just come over me, and I was listening to a tape by Sandy Patty that Beth had left in a car, and the song was Cleanse Me. She said, I started crying, Daddy. And I said, oh, God, I wish I knew how. What can I do? Lord, I want that. I want you to cleanse me. But what she didn't know, that she is going to have a testimony just like David in the Bible. Want me to read it to you? Here's David's testimony. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. We didn't know that. We did not know that God was answering prayer. Week after week after week, we saw that affliction. But during that time, out of that darkness, God gave us treasures. People who come to that hospital get born again. In that hospital with three paid chaplains, please listen to me. Not one chaplain ever came through that ICU ward. But people would come pass through that place. And I thought, God, what am I going to do? I've had to cancel 5 or 6 weeks of meeting. God gave me a sweet peace and said, just sit right here. And they'd pass through. And they'd say, are you a preacher? Yes. I've been having this problem. And all every day somebody get right with God. Somebody get saved. And out of that darkness, God keeps sending rays of treasures. Out of that darkness. And now they look back. The other day I was over at my daughter's house. She's 34, she's got 35, got three children. She's like the daughter I've always wanted. She was in the living room. She said, "Dad, let me play this tape. I want you to hear this song." We're sitting there, and the song was "Worthy as a Lamb." Boy, I was just blessed in my heart. I was sitting there like that. All of a sudden, she hit the floor. And she done something she vowed she'd never do. She praised God just loud as she could. Just cry, tears rolled down. She said, "Daddy, I didn't know I'd ever do that." I said, "Glory to God, thou shalt receive treasures of darkness." There's a backside of chastening. Are you listening? If God loves you, he'll chasten you, but in his great love, he'll give you a treasure even out of that. Then, lastly, there's the real treasure. Now, this is not designed to make us grieve, but to make us rejoice. Man is born to die. In Genesis 5, and he died, and he died. And this one, the gap swords, and he died, and he died. In that time of grief, when life ceases to be. But oh, my friend, what a treasure that God can give out of that darkness. What is it? What are they? I want to give you four things of great treasure that comes when life ceases. David called death, he said, the horrors of death. He did that when he was backslid, when God was chasing him. He called it terrors of death in the same time. But then again he wrote, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil." There's not one, and God forbid I'd ever touch on anybody's feelings, and especially the tenderness of the family that's here even now. But there's not an hour that somebody doesn't go home and be with God. It may be us tomorrow. It may be another fight. Who knows? But oh, that dark side when life ceases on earth. But oh, what a treasure. What a treasure that can only have when you have that darkness. What is it? Number one, there's the treasure of a land where there'll never be no darkness. Only way you'll never see it is to pass out of this one that knows darkness every day. What a treasure. I've never seen a day that didn't have a cloud in it. Have you? I've never seen a day at night didn't come. But I'm going to. There'll be no night there. What a treasure. Not only that, but there's a treasure that can only come when life ceases. And that's the Lord's inheritance in full. I have a measure of it now. Even at the fullness of it now, just to measure. But my inheritance is the Lord. And oh, the treasures of darkness is heaven. And then the treasures of darkness, of death, and ceasing of life is himself, Christ. I've never seen him. I've never even prayed to see him. I've never asked him to let me see him. I want to live with faith. But no one will have to introduce me to him. Have you ever heard, anybody ever talked about somebody so much that when you saw him, you said, "Feel like I've known you for years." I'm going to shout, hallelujah. Well, the Holy Spirit's been telling me about him for over 25 years. I know him. I've just not seen him yet. The only way I'll ever see him is to go through the darkness of my life, ceasing, and then the treasure. There is another treasure. Not only of a land where there's no darkness and the Lord's inheritance in full himself, but I grieve God if I were to leave this out. There's the treasures of the loved ones that's gone on. There's not anybody in here that doesn't have a loved one in heaven. It ought to make us sad. It ought to make us so thankful to God, because even out of darkness, God can give us treasure. I don't know where my mother had passed away, when I was here the last time or not. But I was going to the same church then that I'll leave Saturday for Houston, Texas. And on the Monday, I went to the hospital. I said, "Mom, I said, I'm supposed to be in Texas tonight to preach." And she said, "I know it." And she said, "You're going, aren't you?" I said, "Well, I'm waiting to see." She said, "Go on, boy. I'm going to be all right." Next morning, they come and said, "Preacher, you need to go home." I hurried, got to the airport in Houston, and sitting there, knew how God talked to you. Just a sweet peace come over me and said, "Don't hurry. No need to hurry. Don't hurry." Oh, I'm not being sentimental. I'm being real, preacher. I'm talking about a treasure over yonder. Why, if we just had hope in this world here, we'd be of all men most miserable. But everything, our treasures is yonder. My last thing my dad ever said to me, "Son, read me the book. Read me the book." That's a treasure in itself. And not one of us here. Oh, we grieve and we weep and we sorrow, and we ought to. But God promises, "I'll give you treasure out of darkness." Then there's the treasure of one thing. Not only of when life ceases, of a land where there's no darkness, heaven where the Lord's inheritance is in full, himself where loved ones has gone before, a homecoming. But thank God there's something else, a treasure that I've longed for and grieved over ever since I've been saved. And friend, I'm going to enjoy the treasure of a life that I've always desired. That's one of holiness. One of holiness and praise that I've never had before. Every time I think I'm growing a little bit, my flesh overtake me. Can I hear amen? Every time I think I might be progressing a little bit, my flesh would defeat me. And I walk around moping and realize that the flesh is still as corrupt as it's always been. But one day, when people sit around, they'll cry when I go home less likely to do, and they ought to. They're going through darkness, I tell you. But right beyond that darkness, God's going to give a treasure that you've never known before, a life of holiness, when I'm like him, once and for all, forever. What a text. "I'll give thee treasures of darkness and riches in the hidden places." Why did he do that? He tells you the next verse, "that thou mayest know that I that call thee by name am the Lord." Yes, we have treasures. They're not just laying around out in the daylight, but the treasures of darkness. Please bow your head. The dark side of creation, the dark side of every creature, our sinful nature. What a treasure when we realize it and cry out for mercy from God. The dark side of Calvary, without that we'd not know any of it. The dark side of chastisement, the peaceable fruit. The dark side of life ceasing. A land, the Lord, the loved ones, and the life. What a treasure. I know people that their love is money. They call it their treasure. God calls it trouble, Proverbs 15:6. God said, "Our treasure's in heaven."